You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallusa Nation.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, hit me, cut it, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, native issues are human issues, and human issues are native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow, this is a National Pet Month, and I have our little dog down here on my feet, Haley, and there's a lot of other things going on here, but you had a great weekend, I saw.
I did, yeah. It's April. There's a lot of things going on. It's kind of the end of sugar bushing season, as I say, getting into the warmer temperatures. I was able to go to Wild River State Park, which is a little bit north of Taylor's Falls. It's about an hour northeast of the Twin Cities, St. Paul area. But that's a state park I had never been to. It's a lot more quiet, less foot traffic state park, which was really cool. And they were doing a maple syrup day. So I was able to go out there and kind of see the process about, and we learned to identify different types of maple trees and a couple different trees in the area. And then we got to experience tapping our own maple tree and then tasting a couple of the sugar waters out there, seeing how they boiled that down to make it syrup. And yeah, I learned a lot about syrup. Did you know that there's not like a taste difference between light syrup and dark syrup?
No, I didn't.
I know that. I learned that.
Wow.
This weekend. Yeah.
That's cool. You boil it down. I'm glad you're getting all that information so you can help me and a bunch of people sugar bush next year with our new land that we're getting. And our hidden land. And I talked to some people about putting a chipotle out there and
nice.
We're all for it, so it's really cool. Hey, Haley, I want to tell you, too, that I was at the state capitol.
Saturday.
Yes, and there was 25 to 30,000 people there. I couldn't believe it. I was, you know, pulling up to my secret place in the Sears parking lot, and usually can park there and walk a couple blocks to the capitol.
Yeah.
And the lot was full when I got there.
Oh, yeah. It looked like 80,000 people at the state capitol from what I was seeing. I mean, just picturing like the crowds at US Bank Stadium at like football games, it looked like more people than that. But that was great turnouts at different state capitals all over the country on Saturday, which was very, very cool to see. It kind of gave me a bit of hope.
Yeah. Well, we got to pull out the Resist shirts and have people be able to purchase our Resist shirts very soon. And I know I saw State Senator Mary Kunish with our Resist jacket on, and that was very cool. And yeah, it's great. And, you know, it was interesting too. Smaller towns did it. I know even like where I live or right by where I live, Highland Park, they were doing it on the streets there. So not only were they at capitals, and I saw like in Manhattan, New York, they were marching down the street, and those streets were jam packed. So big shout out to everybody out there doing their thing. And big shout out to you for working on the decolonizing the sugar bush. That's very cool. I wish I would have made that too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty more opportunities. And I just want to shout out the people that put that on at the state park. That was a great collaboration. A lot of things going on in April. I know we got next month to look forward to, American Indian Month kickoff here in Minneapolis. April is also Sexual Assault Awareness Month. We talked about this a little bit last week. A couple of great local resources here, Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. I know we're going to have Ruth Ann of Buffalo on with us today. We got Minneapolis Air coming up tomorrow. Christine McDonald will be back talking about happenings and going on in Minneapolis.
Yeah, and I just can't get enough of those commercials that you voiced over a year ago. I love it, and I hope we never have to change that again.
Oh, I know. Well, I want to mention too also, April is Environmental Awareness Month, and Earth Day is coming up on April 22nd. So if you're able to pick out some good spots, I've been seeing a lot of litter in areas that need to be picked up around like railroad tracks, specifically like freeway exits. If you're ever going to go volunteer to pick up some of that, make sure you're wearing gloves or you have a little poker to pick up those glass and other sharp objects. And then also wearing reflective gear if you're near any busy highways.
Yeah, definitely. And it is that time of year. You're right. I've seen a lot of trash once the snow has melted, and we really didn't have that much snow because of global warming here in Minnesota, which is mind-blowing. But so we also, you know, later in the show too, we have Anna Negretti on, and she had this really nice segment on the local news here on Channel 5, and had some really cool updates that I'd like her to share with our listeners.
Yeah, Anna is the interim director for the Minnesota State MMIR Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office. It'll be great to hear some updates from them. I know, what else is going on this week before we get Ruth Ann on? I think we got full moons this week. So we've had some full moon ceremonies coming up for our women and relatives who identify as female. A couple local resources that do full moon ceremonies. St. Paul has the American Indian Family Center that hosts those out at the Bellwin Conservancy in Afton. And then Native American Community Clinic usually hosts theirs in Minneapolis. I'm at MIWRC, so we'll have to see. We'll have to ask Ruth.
Hey, well, we always want to give a shout out to people that are listening to us and remind everyone how they can listen to us live. We're on Facebook Live and YouTube, and we're on Blue Sky. And I just want to give a shout out to Robin from Massachusetts. Watching us here on Facebook Live. Facebook Live. And it's exciting that we're all over and people can listen to us after the show is done on all those pesky little iTunes and Spotify and all that.
Yeah, your podcast platforms. Thanks for listening to us. And yeah, we hope y'all are having a great start to your week. I think Dana is on here. Yeah, it's Tuesday. We did take a day off yesterday. Yeah. We're supposed to have our little weekly updates from the Minnesota Historical Society to want to wish Rita that she feels better soon. And yeah. A lot of cool things happening over at the History Center. Their free days are Thursday, and that's in St. Paul, just right off of Kellogg.
Yeah, I got to get to that. Hey, we have our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And I only got a couple minutes in this segment, but always great to see you and hear the updates, and really great to see you in community, and you and your family are strong members now of Minnesota. So, ho-wa.
Thank you. Matsugadads and Dosha, good to see you both.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, great to see you. Hey, well, we want to talk about what's coming up here really quick. The Healing Group coming up on April 11th from 5 to 7. We can squeeze that in the next couple minutes here and then talk about some more stuff in the next segment, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem. We have the... we share with our relatives who seek healing. Excuse me. We share with our relatives who seek healing. I'm not going to try to attempt to say this in the Ojibwe language. So I'm not there yet, but totally 100% support and respect our relatives. But it's a join us for a jingle dress healing dance and giveaway for all victims of crime featuring the Bear Runner Drum Group. This is in partnership with the National Crime Victims Rights Week, which is this week, April 6th through the 12th. And their theme is kinship and kinship, connecting and healing. So yep, there's the flyer right there. We have some pretty talented staff on board within the MIWRC team who designed the flyer. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to a good event. Fortunately, I won't be able to be there. I'll be offsite at a meeting, a working group meeting for supportive housing that'll be at the Shooting Star statewide group, but definitely we'll be supporting from afar. So hope everybody can come to this free event, Healing at the Community Room, this Friday, April 11th. There'll be jingle dress dancers and food and giveaways for everyone. So Madzigadads, thank you.
Hey, we'll be right back with Ruth Anna Buffalo, a Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities. Native Roots Radio will be right back.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, I was just down there today, and then down the street, I was just having a little lunch at the Indian Center in Minneapolis. Hey, great to have State Senator Mary Kunish on here, and we have a guest here that, State Senator, we are so proud to amplify what's happening here with Kelly, and I would like to just... kind of in this segment, just hand over the show to you and talk to our friend Kelly Miller and introduce her. So again, welcome State Senator Mary Kunish.
Hi, Matakiape, everybody. Yeah, it's exciting to have Kelly on the show today and share all the good work that she not only is doing right now as a Ramsey County Commissioner, but the work that she's been doing for a long time to help meet the needs of our most needy in our communities. And I'll let Kelly introduce herself, but you know, a new commissioner at the county level is really important, and to have a Native person in that role, especially in the metro area. We have a large population, large urban population of Native folks, and it's not just the Dakota and the Anishinaabe in Minnesota, but, you know, dozens and dozens of tribal members from across the country live in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area and the surrounding suburbs, but we've never had that kind of representation at the county level. And I know a lot of people don't understand what the county does. It's sort of, I don't want to say it's like a hidden level of our governments, but it certainly is a really important one, but not always one that's so much paid attention to. And we are thoroughly appreciative of the work that the county does from a legislative level, because we fund the counties. A lot of the programming and the policy and the funding comes from the state legislature. And then it's up to the county to do those things that we ask them to do, or we tell them to do. Most of the time we try to fund what we ask them to do. Sometimes it's up to the county to accommodate that. And I know that I've had to work with the county a lot around the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act, around foster care, around absenteeism and truancy. Good grief. I wanted to say truism, but truancy. We really are a very vital part of the work that goes towards meeting the needs of our community. And the county is just like one level closer, really, to the people, to the neighborhoods, and to the communities. So maybe, Kelly, you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you did before you were handily elected this past November and what you're working on now.
Yeah. Bonjour, everyone. Kelly, Nijangachwe, Winnakaz, Abitagijinguk. Dash Indu Ojibwe We Winakaz, Magizi Indumdam, Mississaigan, Indum Jaba, Maple Dash Inna. So thank you everyone. My name is Kelly Miller. I'm the Ramsey County Commissioner for District 7. That includes Maplewood, North St. Paul, and White Bear Lake. So those are the districts that I represent. Prior to this role, so I was just sworn into office beginning of January, but I'm no stranger to our Native community or the community in St. Paul and Minneapolis. Prior to this, I was the Chief Program Officer at Interfaith Action of Greater St. Paul, but I came up on the Department of Indian Work side. So started as a food shelf intern in their food shelf at DIW St. Paul in 2014. Wow. And then worked my way up as their director, became their director in 2019, and then oversaw our food shelf, out of school time youth program, diabetes education. When COVID happened, we partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health, and we opened up the COVID, we were a COVID community coordinator for the Native American community in all seven metro counties. So we had a COVID hotline that then Wow. changed into testing, that changed into vaccines. And then our latest and newest program that we started was an economic mobility hub for American Indians in Ramsey County. And that's working with American Indian families in a holistic way, more family coaching approach. And we were able to have 26 of our families receiving guaranteed basic income. So do a pilot on that. So the hub is still going, still working. That's in partnership with the Montessori American Indian Child Care Center. And I handed all that great work off to their new director, which is Teresa Halverson Lee. She's amazing. And this is, as a county commissioner, is a full-time job. So I did have to resign from Interfaith Action, but I'm still a part of the community. You still see me out at a lot of community events because it's our community.
Yeah. We just saw you at the memorial for... For our friend from St. Paul, and that was really great to see you.
Yeah, my daughter loves to dance. She's hoping to run for princess one year, so I was like, well, we got to get out there. You got to keep practicing. So my kids love to be out there on the dance, on the dancing.
Yeah. So it's always interesting at the legislature how we get to interact with the county. Usually, you know, well, like I've always had really good relationship with Ramsey County. Where I live, I'm in Ramsey County, but I represent three different counties, Hennepin County, Ramsey County, and Anoka County. And as I said, a lot of the work that is done at the county level comes through the instruction of the state legislature. And we often will, you know, I'll often meet with them during the summer, like the county folks during the summer, just to say, you know, how's it going? What we asked you to do, are you able to do it? What are the issues? And so that relationship is really so important when we are looking to to really meet the needs of our county. You know, counties have their own local government, and you know, the elected official is the person that represents those folks. And so it's just really important that that we hear from the county folks when we are putting together our legislative plans and omnibus, and take into consideration what you are all saying. So I'm wondering, like, what are, have you discovered are some of the, like, the top issues or the things that that Ramsey County needs to be working on right now, especially given the fact that there are strings being attached to just about everything coming out of the federal government. And I hope it's not going to affect the counties too much.
So I kind of want to go back to what you hit on earlier, is that people don't really understand, like, what the county does or how much the county, like, impacts your life, right? And so it's, I just want to go, like, it's important for the counties, like you said, Mary or Senator Kunesh, to have, to interact with our legislators for so many reasons. Like, counties are the implementers of so much policy that is, and funding that is passed down through the state. So these, so we don't really cover K through 12 or early or higher education, but we do work with a lot of those families. But we definitely do more than the cities, especially when it comes to mandates. We implement the important health and human services programming, the public health, bigger transportation projects, and then even transit systems as well, in collaboration with Metro Transit, which is really huge. I just want to say, I, for one, have enjoyed connecting with the legislators like yourself. We are very fortunate, like you said, you know, we have a great relationship with our legislators at Ramsey County at the board level. A few of them were legislators themselves, so they really understand the importance of that work and keeping those relationships. So we are kind of lucky. We are home to the Capitol and also often called to be part of the official record of testimony. We're active in our statewide association, or also known as the Minnesota Association of Councils. And then we do have government relations staff who are at the Capitol all the time, and they are absolutely fabulous to work with. I've noticed the bigger counties have some staff, which is helpful for tracking bills, getting hearings, helping with some of our coalition work and finding opportunities. But what we're seeing here, and I don't think people, you know, again, I'm still learning this. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you can quote me, but as I'm still learning, right, like, some of these mandates and some of these funding opportunities, if they are put onto the county and they're on, they come with non-funding, then it essentially leaves us to shift around our budgets. And sometimes I'm hoping that it doesn't have to come down to then as being implemented on the taxpayers. So a worry that I have, and that, you know, we're watching closely here as our county staff and leadership is watching closely, is how, like, the federal mandates and the federal funding is affecting states, and how states' funding is now affecting the counties, because it all has a trickle down effect. And then essentially if the burden is carried more on the counties, then and we are not able to fund that, then it gets brought on to the taxpayers or the levy, or things will have to get cut, right? Those tough decisions will have to be made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think people always realize that there's, you know, a finite amount of dollars out there. And those dollars that we use on all of these services actually come from the taxpayer, mm-hmm. and sometimes from fees or things that we charge for. And so, you know, I think we all want to not have to pay the most tax mm-hmm. possible, but our tax base is what helps pay for our schools. Mm-hmm. It helps pay for our roads and bridges. It helps pay for trash and transportation issues. But at the end of the day, if we want to have those really good services that you're all talking about, it is up to the taxpayers. And I know I try to do my best with the taxpayer dollars, and I'm sure you as well.
Yes.
Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunesh and Kelly Miller, Ramsey County Commissioner. We're having a discussion, and also a real congratulations to Kelly for being stepping up and doing her duty here, and I really appreciate it. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Okay, everybody, a one, a two.
Take me out to the pledge drive. Donate now with the crowd.
dig up some savings in your backyard. We don't care if it's a check or a card, and we'll thank you forever. Making the goal is our aim. Go to KFAI.org for the spring pledge drive.
Flat. Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Anna Negrete, who's Minnesota Missing Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office Interim Director. That's a mouthful, and it's hard for me to read. Welcome, as always, Anna. Great to see you. I got to see you last night. I want to talk a little bit about that, but welcome.
Thank you. Good to see you as well. Yeah, we have a public information officer, so we were telling some success stories, and so here I am.
Right on. For the people that are just tuning in, and you know, we're on 30 stations across the country 5 days a week, so you can just mention a little bit about the office to people that may not know first.
Yeah, we're the first state in the nation to have a Missing Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office, and so we're here to support families that are impacted by MMIR across the state. Recently, we've supported some other states as well as they look to us to see what we're doing. But, you know, what we try to do is really help families communicate with law enforcement, advocate for systems change, and just really help raise awareness around MMIR state and nationwide, and just how much that impacts our communities. Indigenous people in the state of Minnesota make up 1.4% of the population, but last year, in 2024, 10% of the homicides that occurred, the missing persons that occurred were Indigenous women. And so there's definitely a disparity there. And so we're working to address, you know, address that on lots of different levels, but that's a little bit about our office and what we do.
That's awesome. And then I want to just throw out too, because whenever I get in my car, I look at my car and I have a license plate and how successful that program was. And mine says Land Back.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's the third most popular license plate here in Minnesota, and Senator Kunish set that up with others to support the MMIR reward fund that we're still working on rolling out. But it's raised $90,000 in revenue as of, I want to say, early February. It was a little bit less than a year. That will go back and support families as they search for their relatives, to help raise awareness, billboards, flyers, those kind of efforts. And so we're excited to have that as part of something that we do here in Minnesota as well.
Well, last night I was watching the news, and which I do, and I saw a local station here had something about your organization, and I was thinking, uh-oh, I got to watch this, because this station's pretty notorious about not liking things that we do in particular, but it was a great segment.
Yeah, it was the lead up stories to those made me a little bit nervous too, when they were talking about how we're using our funding, but I was happy to talk a little bit about some of the successes we have had in the past year. You know, recently, part of the things that we do within the office is we raise awareness. And last July, we were up in Winnipeg, Canada, presenting on the overlap of MMIR and human trafficking. And so we got to meet some great folks there. A few months later, in September, we got a call from Fergus Falls Police Department. And they said, hey, we have this, you know, really kind of different situation. There's an Indigenous woman. She's alive, but she's having trouble providing information about who she is, where she's from, and we could use your support. What was super cool about this, you know, kind of the whole this whole event or this whole happen, everything that happened during this kind of time period, and it took a while to process everything, but was that everybody, people that didn't need to be involved or usually would say, hey, this is not our case, is not our issue, including law enforcement in this case, they cared to reach out to our office. Social workers that this wasn't their issue, their problem. They went above and beyond to make sure that we figured out who she was. And so I traveled up to Fargo and built some rapport with the sister. And she was able to tell me a little bit more information. And the reason why I had mentioned Canada is because we had an image of her, and I just said, you know, from what she's telling me, it sounds like Canada, and they, you know, kind of had some indication that way. And so I had reached out to the folks that we had met back in July, and they're like, we recognize her. That's, you know, she's one of ours. And so they too went above and beyond, and were like, they made sure that as we started to make plans to get her home, that she would have all the support that she needed when she returned, including, all kinds of different levels of care that she needed and support she needed. Folks from the Salvation Army made sure that she was able to cross without issues because she didn't have identification. And so they help with those, you know, all these, it's just a big group of folks who really came together and made sure that she got home safely where she felt supported. They came down, they had folks that she recognized, that she knew, that she felt safe with. And what I mentioned on the news last night is that we don't always get that care when somebody, you know, is at risk or in danger or in situations where they're vulnerable. Sometimes we hear about those, you know, not at games or else, you know, they'll find their way. But in this case, that it turned out really differently. And so I was really happy to be a part of that. And it just really speaks to the importance of like developing the relationships that we've strived to do within MMIR, building bridges with law enforcement, building bridges with all kinds of folks. You know, who knew a tour to the shelter would really kind of crack that open and get that ball rolling to make sure that she got home. But as we were up and presenting, there was a shelter up in Winnipeg, and they said, hey, come check out our spot. This is, you know, where unsheltered folks come, and spent some time with them and had, you know, stayed in contact. So just the importance of those relationships and really providing better service for our family has made a difference in that case. So that was one of the success stories that was highlighted last night.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that is a success story, and that keeps you going. I'm wondering, you know, for yourself and the people that work in this work, what do you do for your mental health? Because it isn't always a success story. You know, how do you take care of yourself?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's hard, and I have to be on top of that. And so I do use my traditional medicines. I go and I pray and do those type of things. And that's so important. Every week we're hearing stories and cases. I was took some time off this past week and ended up in Bismarck on another search and met some other relatives and other folks that were for a missing man in North Dakota. And so it's something that you have to do on a regular basis because those families are hurting so deeply. And you hear what they're going through and the loss and the not knowing and all these questions. And it weighs on you. The positive side of that is that being connected with those families really pushes me personally, and I know our office, to work harder. Like, we know we have to do more. Being an organization and a state organization, we know like we're not the end all be all solution for MMIR. We're not going to come and solve the MMIR crisis alone, but together with, you know, community organizations like MUSAC, like Minnesota Indian Woman Resource Center, like folks that were doing the work long before we came on board. That's how we make an impact, and by listening to families and taking care of ourselves, because like you mentioned, if we don't, then it's harder to do the work because, you know, that hurt we carry.
Yeah. You guys are definitely boots on the ground. And I've known that since the office opened up, you're going to places that that are hard to go to sometimes, especially if you're in a recovery situation as opposed to a missing situation. That's hard.
Yeah, and we don't always know going into those spaces, but something that I learned really, really early on was that showing up matters. You know, we can't just be in our offices and writing policy and saying this is how we want it to change. Showing up has mattered. And so we try and do that. We're a small office with a pretty small staff of right now. We just hired somebody new. And so we'll have an office of four, but we have statewide jurisdiction, but we do our best to be out in community and support our families in the way that they're asking us to do. And so hopefully we can continue that and grow.
I always like to have a call to action when we have guests like you on. And is there anything that our community can do to support you, what's going on in your office besides buying a license plate? I know Haley's up next for the license plate, right, Haley?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out my little custom numbers.
What you want on there. Yeah, they give you a couple options to if you don't get your first choice. But the license plate is good too, but just keeping an eye on social media, something easy as sharing a post. That's important work to raise that awareness. If you have the ability to go out on searches, please come. Know that families are out searching oftentimes after law enforcement goes away or when those resources are deployed, families are still going out and searching. And so if you're seeing that in your community, take some time. If you're not physically able, bring a pot of soup, bring some bread, bring some water, bring some something and support families in that way. So there's lots of ways that you can engage. If you're interested in learning more, our board meetings are open as well. And so we meet second Wednesday of the month. So if you want to learn more and hear about what we're doing, that's another way that folks can get engaged and learn about what we're doing in our office.
How does someone get an invite to that, or how do you get more information on that?
Yeah, you can find it on our website on DPS under the Missing and Murdered Unit, and then you'll see two tabs. You'll look at the advisory board and the link is provided there. Again, it's Wednesday morning, the second Wednesday of the month. Next month, I think, is our next meeting is in May, starting at 9 a.m. So tomorrow we'll be up at the state capitol supporting the Missing and Murdered Black Women and Girls office, their first day at the capitol. And so we'll be out there supporting our sister organization.
Wow, that's big news. Anna, thank you so much for coming on and also the work you do. And I really, really appreciate you. I follow you on Facebook and I try to share everything that you put up there. And you're doing great work. And again, thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thank you for having me. And thanks for the invite. I'm glad to share some successes that we have, because you're right, they're not always, stories don't always end like this. So thank you again for your time. It's good to see everyone.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back. Did I already say that, Haley?
I think so. Stay with us.
Right on.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, yes, they do. Hey, I am really, really excited to have Rihanna Yazzie and Amber Ball on. And we're going to be talking about the nut, the hermit, the crow, and the monk. And it sounds kind of like my dating schedule in high school. But hey, great to see you guys. And Rihanna, you're on mute right now. So if you could unmute yourself and then it won't be a puppet show. Yeah, right. Good radio. Hey, welcome, you guys. And I just want to, before we get involved in this, Rihanna, I want to just give you a big shout out for Dark Winds. I see that another great season. you wrote, I think it was the second one or the first episode this year, and great job as always. And I always have to slow-mo my credits when I'm watching and go, I know her. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to see you. Good to be here. Thanks for having us on. We're excited to talk about our play that we're opening on the 16th over at New Native Theater.
Yep.
Exactly. Yes. And you are directing, both you guys are co-directing this. Amber, welcome to Native Roots Radio. I believe this is the first time I've met you, but I do am 64 years old, so we could have met, and I've totally forgotten because I'm old, you know. So welcome, you guys. I'm totally excited. I want to tell everyone a couple times as we're talking where this is and how they can get tickets, and just run a commercial, so to speak. But again, happy 50th anniversary to New Native Theater. And did you catch that, Rihanna? I didn't put the New Native Theater in there like I usually do.
Not 50th, just
15.
Yeah. 15. Yeah. Eventually we'll be 50th, but not quite yet. We're still in our teens.
Yeah, I won't be around for the 50th, I'm sure. Well, if I am.
You never know. It could be a bionic pilot. That's what could happen.
Let's talk a little bit about the play here, and I see some postings circulating, and it's not, looks like you have a big stand-up line of actors in your play again. Really excited to see this one. Let's talk a little bit about Amber. Why don't you jump in and talk a little bit about the play and the whole process here?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rihanna invited me on as a co-director. This amazing show that she's written. It follows two siblings, played by Nathaniel Two-Bears and Elena Yazzie. So in it, you'll kind of see like fun family dynamics, functions, dysfunctions. And obviously with Rihanna writing, there's just a lot of good comedy and slapstick moments in it.
That's awesome. And I got to remind everybody that listens to the show that Nathaniel is Ho-Chunk. So we just want to give a big shout out to our Ho-Chunk brother, Ho-Wah.
Oh, wow.
Right on, Haley. Right on. Yeah. So, okay, cool. So what's the process here? You get the actors, they try out, and then now we're working hard on blocking. And talk about the process here.
Yeah. So at New Native Theater, we usually produce 2 to 3 full plays a year. And so we did auditions way back in January. And we had such an amazing array of beautiful talent all over the nation who came out to audition. And we held our auditions on Zoom, so that way we can get as many people as possible. And we ended up finding all of our cast right here in Minnesota. And Nathaniel Two-Bears, he plays Broder, who's one of the main characters. And then we found Elena Yazzie, no relation to me. Everyone knows that Yazzie's quite a common Navajo name. Mm-hmm. And she's playing Shudde, which means older sister in Navajo. And so then we cast the full play, and then we began rehearsals on March 10th. And what we like to do that very first week is called table work. And so basically that's like reading the play over and over, going scene by scene, having everybody just understand what's happening, what does it mean, what are the metaphors, you know, you sort of like text analyze. And then the following week, we started in-person rehearsal, and New Native Theater is housed over at the Division of Indian Work on Lake Street, and so we love that building because then we can use the basement, the Dakota Lodge, mm-hmm. for our rehearsals, and so then we rehearse there for about 2.5 weeks, and now we're here at Gremlin Theater. This is why Amber has got these rainbows. And we're here, and we've been rehearsing here since April 1st, mm-hmm. March 30th. And we're just, you know, putting the whole thing together. Now we've got lights and sound, And we still got till Wednesday before we have our very first public performance. And so, yeah, we're just perfecting things, looking at the acting. And then official opening night is Friday, April 18th. So yeah, those first 2 days, April 16th and 17th, we're still kind of like making tweaks. And if anybody comes to the show those nights, you know, audience members can kind of give us feedback and sort of help us to really fine tune. And then for official opening on April 18th, it'll be all done. And then we run until May 4th.
That's awesome. And in that theater specifically, you can almost touch the actors, and that's what I really like about it. And
that's then I don't and please then, do and not then, touch the actors though.
Right, almost. Well, I was dancing with a couple over at some of the plays there, but because I was in the front row, I got to get right involved.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, they tried to kick you out of the theater. I remember that. Yeah. But we made sure they didn't kick you out.
Right. I played the junior elder card. Hoa.
Baby elder.
Baby elder thing. Thank you. That's what I meant. That's what I meant. Amber, so how's this experience with New Native Theater, and especially with Rihanna here? Because this whole organization that she's had with classes, and we can talk a little bit about that in a little bit, but just to really riling up the Native Theater here in the Twin Cities and really nationally renowned.
No, it is so special. And when I first met Rihanna, too, that's really what she's kind of been to me, this amazing relationship, is a mentor. And it's so amazing to find mentors in this field, and especially for directing. So that experience of just being able to learn, meet this amazing cast crew they have over at New Native Theater, it's been so enriching. And I'm so excited for people to see the show and then just come experience all the fun that we've been creating here together.
Exactly. And Rihanna, people need to get tickets right away because you sell out, and we have to talk about that.
Yeah, we do sell out. And, you know, but I want to encourage people, like, oh, if it's last minute, please still, we always love to try to get you in, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, come on down.
Yeah, the Gremlin Theater.
Like, turn people away, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think especially, like, closing weekend, we often, like, are just packed to the gills. So like, you can definitely come. And also, it just really is so, so wonderful for the actors to have full houses in the beginning of the run, mm-hmm. you know? Cause I know that sometimes we can run on Indian time and be like, oh, I'll see that play. It runs for 3 weeks. And then you get and then you're like, oh shoot, I can't get any tickets. So yeah, come. Right. I encourage people, come the first week, come the last week, come the second week, and then you can, because some people like to be like oh yes, the first week I it was like this, and now that third week was like that. But
no, but
really shouldn't change. It's just everyone just gets super comfy, but it's great.
Well, it does change a little bit, Amber, doesn't it change a little bit because you vibe off the audience too, and there's different audiences.
Mm-hmm. That is what's so special about theater too, because in its own way it can be different from night to night based off of vibes and energy, but mm-hmm. if anything, that's probably just hopefully for more fun in the show.
Yeah, that's cool. And I'll be wearing my ribbon shirt, so to go along with all those people wearing their ribbon skirts, so I'll be decked out myself. Haley, are you gonna go too? I know you've gone in the past.
Gotta go. Yeah. Always gotta come support, especially in St. Paul too, all close. Hey.
The capital city here in Minnesota, just to let we're on 30 other stations across the country. I just gotta let everybody know that too, and that's why I gave like a big shout out to you, Rihanna, because of Dark Winds, that national show that's just in a third season, that's just amazing. And I get to say I know you when people talk about Dark Winds.
Aw, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of my own personal, every writer. Just growing, being one of the few Navajo writers on that show, so much of it you know, came from my lived experience. So, not all of it, clearly. I hope not.
What character are you?
You do not want that to be your lived experience.
Wait a minute. Were you the police officer that became...
No spoilers, Robert.
Oh, I know. So let's talk some more. Let's switch gears just for a minute here because we got a minute left in this segment. I want you to talk a little bit, Rihanna, about the classes that you New Native Theater does do, if that's the sentence. Does do.
Oh, yeah.
Do, does.
We does do theater classes. And, we've done acting classes, directing classes. We've even done a class, public speaking for Native professionals. And also we always have apprentice opportunities. So if somebody is interested in a part of doing theater, like for instance, the lights, the sound, being, you know, a stage manager, there's always a paid apprenticeship available. So people can just reach out to us. And also, we have so many talented carpenters in our community. So we also really are looking for some fantastic carpenters. You know, we worked on this show with Brandon Cisneros, who's a fantastic Ojibwe carpenter. But yeah, there's always opportunities. Just reach out if you're interested in any part of doing theater.
Hey, I know you guys got to get going, but we're going to grab you for a quick another segment here, and then you guys can make like a tree and leaf. But we're here with Rihanna Yazzie and Amber Ball, and we're talking about New Native Theater, The Nut, The Hermit, The Crow, and The Monk at the Gremlin Theater. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! How? I didn't hear Amber or Rihanna howl. Oh,
they're
mute. Oh, they're on mute. They're laughing away on mute there. This is, not good radio when you're muted. Oh, wow.
That was my bad.
That's cool. No problem. Hey, there's a couple questions I want to get out there too, because I just get all excited. You know, I get I'm talking to famous people here, and you know how I get, Rihanna. I'm like all excited to talk to you guys. So I want to. How can people get tickets? And again, the time of the performances.
You can get tickets by going to brownpapertickets.org. You can also go to our website, newnativetheater.org. And we spell theater the bougie native way with an R-E at the end, theatre, as opposed to theater, E-R at the end. So it's newnativetheater, T-H-E-A-T-R-E, .org. So you can get tickets there. Brown Paper Tickets is a service. So like if you Google New Native Theater, The Nut, The Hermit, it'll come on up. But the whole play name is The Nut, The Hermit, The Monk, and the Nut, The Hermit, The Crow, and The Monk.
Wow.
You can get tickets that way. You can also get tickets by calling Brown Paper Tickets. And you can also send us an email. We also have group tickets. So we're actually hoping that many, many Native orgs will bring their constituents and bring their staff. And in fact, we have an org that's sold out April 17th because they just were bringing all their families and all of their staff to come see the show. And yeah, we encourage people to do that because the funnest is when, you know, everybody, all the Native jokes, when everybody gets all the Native jokes and, you know, and this is just a real, really beautiful, fun play. It's very comedic, and we've got shadow puppetry, and and we also have a lot of Pink Floyd music in it.
Well, that's from my high school days, and I do mean high school. Oh, thank you. Haley,
I got that.
Haley laughed at that. Thank you, Haley.
High school.
So, Amber Ball, talk a little bit about the other people that are in the play and kind of what their characters are.
Yes, we have an amazing cast ensemble. So we have our amazing actor, Charlie, who's going to be playing Mater, the mother of the show. She's also going to be doing some amazing puppetry work with the hilarious cat that you will see. We also have Thomas, who's going to be playing the role of Uncle. So you can expect some good old Uncle shenanigans in the play.
Yeah.
And then who else do we have? We also have our amazing Niche. She's going to be playing this assortment of characters. So I would say come for Niche and see how Niche transforms into so many running characters. There's so many good jokes and so many amazing things that this cast has put together. And it's truly an amazing, talented ensemble.
And again, what time are the performances? So somebody that works, I don't work, I just have a radio show, but so I can just fall out and meander over there.
Got it real easy, huh, Robert?
Oh, I'm a baby elder. I've retired from teaching, so I'm, you know, my hobby is to try to pronounce words correctly.
Yeah. it's on a daily basis. It's that Ho-Chunk accent. The play, it runs Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And then we have a matinee every Sunday at 2 p.m. And that, again, that's April 16th through May 4th.
Exactly. And I know you have to get going back to rehearsal here, but do you have any last minute things that you'd like to say and give us a shout out here?
Oh, well, yeah, Amber, she's just the most amazing artist from Portland, visual artist, playwright, Da Vinci Code breaker, Da Vinci Code maker. Amber is really such a fantastic artist that everybody in the Pacific Northwest should be like, hey, Amber. And Amber's going to be starting a festival in November in PDX. That's what they say locally, right?
Yeah.
The PNW, Pacific PNW Northwest. PDX. But yeah, it's just been really wonderful to work with her. Like we're both Capricorns, and we have the other half of each brain. So this is a very good directing partnership. And I am sure there will be more from the Yazzie Ball camp eventually.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I got to get that t-shirt, Yazzie Ball.
It's like Yahtzee.
No doubt. Say, Amber, can you tell me just a little bit about the tribe that you are with? I don't think I've heard of it. And I don't get out of my seven state area here.
So I'm a citizen of the Confederate Tribes of Siletz Indians. We're based in Oregon on the coast. Some people laugh because I call it the Shire, but we all have such a beautiful green space. We're close to the ocean. And it's one of the places that I love, and I love our people. So shout out Siletz if you're listening.
Hey, again, I know you guys got to get going. We're talking about The Nut, The Hermit, The Crow, and The Monk, written and co-directed by our own Rihanna Yazzie. And Amber Ball is also co-directing this. And we'll see you out there. I'll be sneaking in there. I'll bring my own folding chair because I'll go to one of those sold-out nights. Oh,
yeah, actually, that's a great plan. If you think it's going to be sold out, bring your folding chair.
And we'll get your powwow chair.
That's the best solution. Yes, it's sold out. Just bring your folding chair.
Bring your powwow chair and blanket. Yeah,
bring
your
powwow chair.
Yes.
And bring a blanket.
All right. Yes. Hey, great to see you guys, and I'll see you that run. And Haley and I will be talking it up for the next couple of weeks here, as we always talk about what's going on in the cities. And we'll be right on talking about you and this great play, because it's always quality and it's always fun. And great job. And again, congratulations on not 50, 15 years of being Native Theater.
On our way. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you so much. Take care, Haley. Bye.
You too. See you guys.
Awesome. Well, that was fun.
And they're awesome. I love Capricorns now that I see them together.
Yazzie ball.
The Yazzie ball. Does do.
Yeah, well, that was, yeah, right. Same. So, well, that's cool. We got a couple minutes. And I know one of the things I wanted to talk to you about early on was, can you tell our audience a little bit about, we were talking about the full moon ceremony, and talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So full moon ceremonies, these are for our female relatives, female identifying relatives. Full moon ceremonies are just kind of a time to connect with a mother or grandmother moon, we call her, like women, we get our menstrual cycles monthly. We kind of go with phases of the moon. So we honor and respect that. I know American Indian Family Center is doing their full moon at the Afton Belwin Conservancy tonight. That starts at 6 in a bit here in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, NAC, Native American Community Clinic, is doing theirs tomorrow at the Little Earth Gym. I think 7:45 was that start time in Minneapolis.
Well, you know what, too? We're winding down the show, and I can't wait until tomorrow when we do another.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic. Oh.